Chell Anderson is a North Shore naturalist. She lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Chell.
Hello.
Well, there's one in my bird feeder just about every night and early morning. Tell us about northern flying squirrels.
Oh, I'm so jealous, Jay. I'm green with envy.
They are cute little beggers.
Oh, they're
so
really
soft
are.
And sweet looking.
Yes. You know, they say, and I've only had the opportunity to actually touch one of these a couple of times, but they say that no other mammal has fur as silky and soft as the flying squirrel, with the exception of the moles, which we've talked about before, how they have such, and voles have this very soft, silky fur. And apparently the flying squirrels fit right in with that. They're incredibly, wonderfully silky and smooth.
Well, he's out there, and mostly I see him in the wintertime, mm-hmm. and he's in one of the hanging feeders, and then mm-hmm. he can jump off onto the tree. But does that, the nature of that fur help in terms of insulation, or are they just cuter that way?
Well, we've got, I think we have to put cute aside. I don't think cute has been a big evolutionary pressure. But the,
I thought Darwin had a whole chapter on cute.
Well, he probably should have. But, you know, probably would have made his book more widely read.
Yeah, it's a little dry in places. But, yeah. But tell me, no, aside from that, uh-huh. though,
sure.
We don't ever see them in the daytime, do we?
No. Of course, they're, in addition to this adaptation that allows them to, quote, be flying squirrels, but they also are well adapted for nocturnal activity. So they're rarely seen in the daytime. That would be quite unusual to see one out and about in the daytime. And, you know, it's probably a part of one of those ways that groups of animals that basically eat the same things and live in the same kinds of habitat manage to work around overlapping each other entirely and competing real directly. So in the case of flying squirrels, they have adapted to their working lives being nighttime, associated with the night. And one of the most important adaptations for that is they have these very large eyes. In terms of the proportion of their eyes in their heads, very different from other squirrels and most other mammals that are active during the day.
Now, the red squirrels tend to try to shinny down the line to into this bird feeder because they're irrepressible. Mm-hmm. But these guys just take off. How does that help them in their general development and competition with other animals?
So this cool adaptation that they have is that there is a fold or a membrane that can fold up that is attached from the trunk of their bodies and extends out along their legs and attaches their front to their hind legs. So when they stretch their legs apart, that piece of additional skin, extra skin, comes out, stretches out between and gets taut and forms a planing surface and acts like a parachute or like a hang glider. So they have one on each side, and that enables them when they leap off, if they stretch their hind and forelegs out ahead and behind, then these two parachute hang gliders come out and they can glide instead of just fall. Anyone who has a bird feeder and has squirrels around has watched squirrels try mightily to leap from a tree over to the bird feeder, and they can really jump. The red squirrels can really jump and they can get out, but if you watch the arc of their leap, they go out only as far as the momentum, the force of their leap goes, and then they fall just like a rock, just like you or I would. They're better at landing. And I would be anyway, but they can only get that distance that comes from the height that they're at and then the effort with which they can push off from whatever they're jumping from. Whereas a flying squirrel, when it gets up in the tree or whatever, and it leaps off, it spreads those legs, and this flap comes out and becomes a nice little parachute, and it allows them to glide. And they can glide apparently over 100 feet. I've seen different reports. Some say over 150 feet. I've even seen something that says up to 200 and some feet. That would be pretty amazing to see. So, you know, partly depends, I suppose, on how high the thing is that they're jumping from. But so this allows them to, in the case of your brood feeder, reach it where other squirrels maybe can't. But it's also, as you might imagine, extremely advantageous in terms of escaping from would-be predators. And this fold of skin that allows them to glide, as soon as they land, it just folds right up, so they're very nimble. It doesn't encumber them in any way that one can observe anyway. And so they're very nimble, and they also have, in terms of their evading predators, they also have a very ingrained behavior of, they've leapt from one perch, they've glided to another spot, they've landed, and they immediately move right or left or somewhere, either another glide or just to a different place on a branch. And that's because something that's aiming for them, maybe aiming for where they think it's going to touch down, is going to be focused on that spot where they actually land. And so if they are moving immediately to the right or the left or to some other place, it's a ingrained evasive maneuver once they land. Flying squirrels do not hibernate. They stay active all year long. So that means, of course, they have to have a good supply of food for the year. Tree cavities, hollows in trees, old woodpecker holes, these are very important nesting habitat for flying squirrels. And they even nest together in order to get advantage of the sharing the warmth. Around here, I would say probably the ideal places would be some place where you've got a maple forest. So, you know, maples produce a lot of seeds, but also where you have adjacent, say on lower slopes of some of our ridge slopes, where you have other forests that are more of a mix of conifers and deciduous species. So there you'd get a nice mix of potential food resources, different kinds of cover, and within the maple forest, some great quality nesting habitat because of all the nice snags and large snags that will develop in those forests. So if you think you maybe see a bird flying at night, you know, on a moonlit night or something, take a close look, because you could easily mistake a flying squirrel for a bird.
Chell Anderson, botanist and plant ecologist, thanks for helping us understand flying squirrels or squirrels with built-in paragliders.
My pleasure.